is you interlock the two.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Now, I was just saying to the lads, I literally was running around like a blue-ass fly this morning, and then I've just been cooking. I'm doing them roast lamb and homemade chips, and so mine's in, and Stacey's like, yo, what time are you recording? And I was like, 6:30, and she went, you're not going to have time to eat that. And I was like, yeah, I'll just dice in it. I'll just one bite. And she was like, mate, it's 27 minutes past. So I've had to put a portion out, which is the amount that I'm going to make for myself later, which is obviously more than I should have probably kept for myself. But
we could have just pushed there. We could have just pushed back.
Nah, fuck it. It was all good, man. It's not a problem. It just, no days seem to have a day or a time or anything.
No. It was weird the other day because I knew fights were on in the evening, but it didn't feel like Saturday.
No, at all. And because the card was kind of, I don't know, it was a series card with Tyron on the end of it. It seemed to be there wasn't as much jazz about it.
No, it feels weird though because like this weekend being UFC 250, and I remember saying this at UFC 200. When they were doing the unveiling of the octagon with the horrible mustard canvas.
Yeah.
Remember, I remember standing in the arena going, this is cool, but wait till UFC 250.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if I could have just jumped forward in time for a second and been like, ah, oh, it's going to happen at the Apex in Vegas with no crowd because there's a global pandemic.
But that's how being a kid and saying there's going to be floating cars in the year 2000, isn't it? And then all of a sudden the year 2000 comes around and fuck all's changed.
Yeah.
Literally.
I remember people being angry at Back to the Future when the hoverboards didn't come about on the same date. Because there's a particular date on that, isn't there, where hoverboards were supposed to have been available. They're not.
I can remember, and this just shows how my mum used to pacify me a lot of the time. I can remember asking her for a hoverboard. And she was like, yeah, no problem. Because obviously she knew that they were never going to fucking come out. But she just said to me, as soon as they're in the Argos, or they're in the Index. You know, remember that catalogue company that was like, it wasn't Argos, it was a bit small, it's called Index.
Yeah, I do.
And if it comes out and it's in there, you can have one. And I was like, fuck yeah. I was Jones for like months, just Billy strutting everywhere. And it never, I was like 26 at the time, but never caught on, man. Never caught on. I was devastated. So,
you Benjamin Button then? Are you going back in time?
Yeah, I'm going to have to so I can get my hoverboard. I might look a bit young. Stacey's given my first quarantine fade.
I was going to say, you know, yeah, she's done a good job there.
Mate, she said I look homeless, and I was giving it the, I don't care. And then she kind of looked at me with them divorce eyes, and I was like, well, I do. So sit the fuck down.
Yeah, I'm about ready for a trim. It's getting a bit long. But I just, you know me, I'm an old punk rocker. I do mine myself.
Well, this is it. I can. I've kept enough for a big enough hawk or a bit of length, but she didn't use scissors. It was just clippers, like for Sean Connery in The Rock.
Well, you know, I mean, if you know your way around a pair of clippers, you can use them like a, you know, like you're working a sculpture.
This is it.
It's all about time and practice when it comes to clippers, and obviously Stacey's had, what, 20 minutes of practice, so she's probably mastered it by now.
But the thing is, if you look at all three dogs at the minute,
she's had loads of practice. That's why you look like a poodle.
She's had the practice, but at the minute, Ben looks like he's got mange. So the worst thing is, I brought the clippers into the kitchen and Moo burst into tears. She was doing her homework in the corner. She burst into tears, like, Mummy, no, please don't cut down his hair. I like his hair. Don't cut his hair. He's going to look like Ben. And Ben just sat here like, what the fuck? What are you looking at me for, bitch? He was fuming.
And it cuts to a shot of three dogs looking up at you with Peaky Blinders haircuts.
Yeah, just completely swept over and flat catch up. What, geezer?
So you caught on the flights, did you?
Yeah, man, I sat up last night. I managed to avoid anything all day, and I sat and watched a lot.
Anything,
yeah. I stayed away from my phone. Problem is, it was Moo's birthday, and people were messaging me about Moo's birthday, and I completely ignored everyone, just because I don't go near my phone when it's... When fights are on, like, Mystery did it. Mystery asked into one of the WhatsApp groups, what did you guys think of Burns and Woodley? And I had to literally just run away. I can't. Yeah, mate, that's it. Even Keith, when I sat down, it was the first time I put my phone in my hand, and it's that muscle memory. I just flicked straight to Instagram. Notification said that Keith had commented on one of my posts. So I went down to read it, and it said, just caught up on the fights. And I was like, oh! Just because I know.
I can't do it, man. I've got to just watch it. I know it's different for you. You're a grown up, and you've got small adults in your house, which is very strange. And I don't have to think about that. But
no,
I can't not watch them. I have to have them at least playing on the background if they're on live, because then, you know, if something big happens, I can plug back into it. Yeah, it's got a different feeling when I'm not watching them live as well.
See, I've done it for that many years. Because the old hustle used to be trying to find a stream or a download. You know, before BT, before Satanta. Before Satanta, before all of that shit, when it was like just essentially in the States, I was the one who found it. Or Stace used to find it and was like, it's on its way down. But literally an event would be sat on a torrent for, I don't know, 17 hours, something like that. I'd be getting to midnight on Sunday, and I'm like, this is gonna go, and then it just go failed, and I'm like,
oh no, terrible. Yeah, I never really got into that kind of stuff. I was always bottom of the food chain when it came to that. I was waiting for someone to deliver it me onto a disc that I could put into a DVD player. I never get any further up the food chain than getting any closer to getting the events myself,
mate. Well, that was my currency, because at work I used to walk around the building and someone would be like, yo, have you got UFC 48? And I'm like, yeah. Have you got a load of post-it notes and an old clock? And he's like, well, maybe I have. So then I'd take that old clock and then post-it notes, and I'd take it to the Starbucks that was inside the building. And the ladies there had previously asked me for a clock and some post-it notes. So I was like, ladies, I understand you're looking for these. And they're like, yo, do you want a free drink? And I was like, for life, I want free drinks. And they're like, no fucking problem, bro. That's it, man. I was like red off Shawshank.
That's it. It's all about making those connections, isn't it?
Always.
Being the conduit between.
Mate, it's the swapsies, man. What have you got for swapsies?
Yeah, I was always... I did some toy swapsies at school, but most of my swapsies was always... It was like-for-like currency. It was WWF cards for WWF cards, or X-Men for X-Men, or Pogs for Pogs.
Yeah, yeah.
I found loads of that stuff the other day, you know. I found a load of old cards and Pogs and Muscle Men. Do you remember Muscle Men?
Yeah, yeah. In the bin.
Yeah, they were awesome. Loved those things.
It's the smell of the... I don't know if they're just... It might be mad toxic, but can you remember opening a pack of Batman cards and that piece of chewing gum that would shred the side of your cheek if you didn't bite it right? It's the smell. Like, the toys, the figures, the original Star Wars figures had like a weird, sweet smell about them.
Uh-huh. For me, it was always the Panini sticker books.
Oh!
They have such a distinct smell, didn't they?
Why did everyone smell the adhesive at the back of it?
I don't know. On. It's one of them Dr. Pepper smells, isn't it? You don't really know what it smells of aside from that particular thing. It's Panini sticker book smell.
This is, well, I was cleaning my shed out the other day and I found a random rogue Luke Skywalker just chilling on the side. And it was like... It had obviously been in the house for Stace to put it to one side like that needs to be thrown away. And I'd rescued him. And he now lives down in the shed. And I just gave him a good sniff. And he's not lost it. He's got to be toxic. It's got to be what killed half of us kids as fucking
it is. It's kind of funny, really, when you think about it. Because us growing up with kids, we were laughing at our parents. Well, yeah, you had lead soldiers that you used to suck on. That's why you're crazy right now.
Exactly.
And in the meantime, we're chewing on plastic toys. And, like... In the future, kids are going to be looking at us going, yeah, you're chewing on those plastic toys. And they'll have hoverboards by then, though, won't they? So they'll be all right.
Yeah, pink ones, little fuckers. But yeah, so the smell. Something about that smell, man. Honestly, it's fucking brilliant. But
one day you're going to walk into a room and you're going to be like, This room smells of panini sticker box.
Someone's just like got like the green magic tree. New car smell. Smell. Panini stickers, circa 87 to 93.
Do you remember the little tiny wrestling cards that used to come in like a plastic baggie with a piece of bubble gum in them?
Yeah.
Do you remember them? They were like in little packs of 10.
Yeah, but they were that mini. The first time anyone did anything mini.
Yeah. I remember getting like unnecessarily excited about those things. Like, yeah. Looking back when I was a kid, I was like the walk from my house to the shop with enough money to buy one of those packs.
Yeah.
It's a piece of bubble gum and 10 pieces of cardboard. Like, right. The excitement was off the charts.
Well, I was allowed out at my dad's house. He had a shop at the top of the street, Pam's shop. And I used to go up there because she used to do these little trays that are about this big by about that deep, just of Nutella.
Yeah.
There was nothing to eat it with apart from your finger. And it's just, it was like, it's like the Nutella packs you get in like a canteen now if you stay in a hotel. Or like when you get up in the morning, you want Nutella on toast. But she'd sell the little trays to us dodgy kids for like 10 pence a go. So you go up there with a quid and you'd be like, I'll have five of them and just smear this fucking melted chocolate around yourself.
Yeah,
and then a load of stickers.
Does that still exist? Do those shops still exist that are a person's shop? Like around the corner from my ass, it was Bill's. Like we never Bill's and grab such a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like one of those shops where everything on the shelf, if you look at the back of it, it says must not be separated, part of a blister pack.
Yeah.
Do not sell separately.
39 pence and he's like tip-exed it out. £1.20. Nice one, Bill. Come on, mate.
Yeah, he was charging for bags way back in the 90s.
Yeah, he was
charging for bags way back in the 90s. People have only just got on board with that. He's
laughing. He got boycotted because he was charging. And now look, bitches. I bet he heard the joke that I hear all the time, especially old dudes. I'm in the shop and I've been playing fucking What Time Is It, Mr. Wolf, all the way around the supermarket, stopping people from getting past. And the person in front of the woman goes, have you got any bags, love? And they're like, I've got about £8,000 worth under my sink if you take them back. And it's like, fuck off. It's not funny anymore. We've been paying for bags for a while. Just fucking pay. Or the jokers that are the jugglers. You know when they've got, I don't know, 10 quid's worth of gear and it's like, do you want a bag for 10 pence? They've just
bought... No, I'm out. I've got it. I'm all right. No, I've got it. No, I'm all right. I've got it.
That's me.
No. That is you. That is you. That is very true. Like Veronica coming scurrying down the road with like cottage cheese stacked up and towering over like it's going to like bags and bags and bags of Pink Lady apples. Can't even begin to tell you how many.
And in her brain.
They're going to think we've got an elephant. They're going to think we've got an elephant.
Eating all the pink ladies.
They eat apples, don't they? You feed apples elephants or horses, right?
Yeah, horses, dude. You feed apples elephants which is a...
What do elephants eat then? Peanuts.
They're all about peanuts. They don't like mice. They like peanuts. Horses like sugar lumps and polos.
Is that right?
Yeah. They're all about sugar lumps and polos. But
horses,
I bet
they're going to think I'm going to be in trouble now. That's it. I'm going to about my own cups of tea.
Divorce eyes. Did you get the divorce eyes? Yes, you did. You know she's walked back from that shop thinking, you're not going to trick me into a 10p bag, you fucking wankers.
I'm not joking, though. They sell Pink Ladies in bags of six, right? If I don't come back from the shop with 18 bags of Pink Ladies, we're running out in 3 days.
Mate. It's the ginger stem biscuits all over again.
You know what? My hearing's like, my hearing's tuned in. I don't even hear her eating them sometimes. I mean, I find the caws and the pips, don't get me wrong. They've often been thrown at the coffee table from across the room.
You need to get her a spittoon.
A spittoon. That's what we need. We need to get one of them spittoons. Like they had in Peaky Blinders in the bar when she was emptying them out.
Just these are proper like cartoon ding, full tilt. Tom and Jerry just stood there. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it now.
I agree, man. So what have you been up to anyway?
Well, we had birthday yesterday, which was, I've got a 12-year-old daughter now, which is a bit fucking mental.
Did you not have a birthday before?
No. She was 11.
Oh, yeah, an 11-year-old. Did you see? I just made her spit out a tea. fuck it off. I wish we'd have got that on camera.
It's all down here.
Spat it here. That's it. Now you need to make yourself a fresh cut, don't you?
No.
Anyway, so.
So, yeah, that was it. We went golfing. We went golfing. She had a pinata.
Nice. What was it? What shape was it?
It was a Simpsons donut shape.
Nice. She, with what inside it?
Just a shitload of sweets. You name it. Yeah, she had all sorts in there. But I gave her a crowbar to hit it with because you don't have to stand in there for 5 minutes.
Of course you did.
Yeah. Garden, she was beating the shit out of this fucking thing with this plastic stick. And I was like, yo, use this. She was like, clink. It's like Terry Crews hit it. It's fucking exploded. Like, nice one.
You have a good time then, yeah.
Yeah, it was good, man. It was good. She's 12. It's weird. She's like a little big person now. So it's not toys and stuff. So Stace cleaned her old MacBook, wiped it, put it in the box, everything, did it up, and like gave her this as a present. And she lost her mind. And I was just there being that grumpy old bastard of a dad, being like, "You better look after it. It's very, very expensive." You know, and I just caught myself saying, it. "I was like, listen." Just please don't fuck it up. Because my experience of, like, one of Stacey's cousins, who I've mentioned before, Ted, he's got 3 kids. And the most calm, sensible, chilled out one that isn't a merc or a fucking maniac was Chloe. Chloe was always the dead mellow kid. And every time I used to go to see any family, they'd be like, "Can you fix this computer? Can you fix this phone?" or whatever it was. And he once passed me her laptop when she was, say, 12. And she had a massive dint in the mouse pad. And I was like, "What did you press this with?" And he went, "A screwdriver."
Oh.
And I was like, I'd murder him. I would straight murder him. So I just had visions. Even though she's not got a screwdriver, I just can't handle thinking that she's going to get that mad with it. I said, "Why did she hit it with a screwdriver?" And he was like, "She got mad with it." And I was like, now I've got a 12-year-old. I know how that rage is, but...
So the problem is not to keep her away from the MacBook. It's just to make sure she can't get to the screwdrivers in the shed.
Mate, she'll be like Matilda one day, just floating fucking carrots around and fucking up with them. Terrifying, man.
You've got to have that conversation sometimes, though, haven't you? You've got to have that conversation where... Because the thing is, like, you always expect the worst, don't you? You always expect it to get broken. And then you have to go for the told-you-so conversation, and then that's never a comfortable one to have. You know, it's like the Raptors nicked one of my hats the other day and took it out, and like, and it's my favorite green one. In fact, where is it? I'm gonna put it on. See, you know the one. It's my favorite green one.
It's Bruce.
No. And I was like, I almost didn't let it leave the house, and then it did leave the house, and then I was concerned about it, as you are with your hats, as I know you're impressed with yours. And I said to the Raptors before they left, I said, "Look after this with gritted teeth." And then immediately I see these photos and they're like hiking through the up the waterfalls, and I'm like, in my head I've got images of them kicking up the path in front of them, taking photos of their toes and stuff. And I'll be honest, it actually looks like it's been dry cleaned. It wasn't as clean when it left the house, so I think they might have switched it with another one, personally. Yeah,
they did swing by the office.
Is that what it is? Did you get an order for one spruce green medallion cap?
It was like an emergency bat signal that got thrown up, and it was mystery. It was the mystery signal. And he was like, "Yo, I'm going to need hooking up, dude." It's like a mob's cleaner, do you know what I mean?
No, they've done it. But as soon as I saw them photos, I called him up, and I was like, "Motherfucker, that hat better be in one piece." He was like, "Dude, seriously, it's all right," and it is. So I overreacted and was proven wrong. So maybe we could both learn from that, and we will be fine with her MacBook.
Well, this is what happened yesterday. In the evening, she got to sit down and she was like, "I'm gonna watch Netflix on my MacBook just because it gives her something to do." And I was like, "Cool," but she'd got these things called Orbeez, and these are Orbeez. Okay, let me just see if you can see these.
Oh, I know what they feel like, and they're making me feel weird already.
Yeah, right. So they're like this that jelly
sushi to make it to ruin it.
Right.
The fish, so, or whatever they are.
They start out as like a tiny little, like the ball that you used to get inside an ink cartridge.
Yep.
You put that in water, it expands, and then you get these weird little jelly fuckers that they stick their feet in and fuck around with, right? Which is all good. But Stace bought her some balloons that she can put the Orbeez in and water, and then it makes like one of them weird squishy things. So you squeeze it in, and it goes, well, you know what I mean? Like a,
yeah,
just some wanky little toys. So me being the twat that I am, she had some punch balloons, the big balloons that I have got a rubber band on to punch, like you used to get at the fair. And I was like, fuck it. Let's slam a load of these little bastards in that, put the water in and tie it up. And she was like, yo, next level, let's do it. So we did that, went out golfing, came back, and it was massive. It was like this big. She took it up to bed, which I didn't know about, sat on a bed watching telly, squeezing it, and it burst. So now there's Orbeez, a new MacBook, and water. So I ran, she ran up to me screaming, crying, like terrified. Dad, 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 I've done this. One Orbeez touched it. One Orbeez touched it. Nothing else touched the Mac. And I was like, no worries. Don't worry about it. That's fine. Ran upstairs, dried everything, changed the bedding, got it all picked up, calmed the situation down. Took me about 25 minutes. She then took her MacBook back upstairs and started watching Netflix again. At which point she realized the sound is now not working. So I said to her, yo, you know when you told me one Orbeez touched it? Were you telling the truth? She's like, all right, a few Orbeez touched it. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, this is the reason I ask you not to lie to me, because I've just spent half an hour changing a bed and drying it when I could have been dealing with your Mac. And she was like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I was like, so one last time, what went on it? Orbeez and water. She went, yeah, just a little bit though, but I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to make you mad. And I was like, I'm not fucking mad. I'm just pissed off because you didn't tell me the truth and you lied to me. Luckily, she'd just hit mute with, like, she'd press space or something and hit mute. Oh. So all is working, but it was a real good learning moment, if you know what I mean. Don't fucking lie. Just tell me the truth, man.
You got to just taste the emotions just for a minute and realise that it would be horrendous.
Yeah, just that, feels...
Them
emotions.
No, definitely don't want that to happen.
It's like when you know your mum or dad's coming home and your bum's doing 50p, 20p, because you know that you know you're in for some deep shit. For whatever you've done, burnt, broken, robbed, fucking, basically, you're in for a bollocking. And it's you need that little bit of reflux just to remind you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll be honest, though. Since I've got my brand new MacBook, I've been really, really careful with that, looking after it, keeping it, you know, like white gloves on before I start using it and all that kind of stuff. This MacBook that has looked brand new since I bought it, which was about 40 years ago, has all of a sudden in the last week taken a nosedive. And it literally looks like I've been using chocolate sauce to type on it with. I don't know what happened.
It's just the blinkers, man. You've seen the new one, and the new one's all sleek, and the buttons are all like low profile.
It's grubby now.
Yeah.
It's been at sea for a month.
Yeah, but it's like a dirty old bird that you're always comfortable
like
with.
Like a dirty old bird.
Do you know what I mean?
About dirty birds, Owen. I don't. I'm not from your sides, man.
All right, comfy slippers. It's like
It's like a pair of running shoes that I refuse to throw away.
Yeah, neither of those are euphemisms for vaginas either. They're just straight. We're talking about slippers and running shoes. Not a dirty bird in every port with a very comfortable fufu. A familiar lady.
Tell me about the fights this weekend. Give me who impressed you.
I was kind of happy that it was a nondescript card, and when I say nondescript, I don't mean any disrespect to all the fighters on there, because I know a few of them have had outings, but there was quite a lot of new faces, wasn't there?
Yeah,
it wasn't a star-studded lineup, but I kind of love that, because there's always going to be a fight tonight, and it's always going to introduce you to someone brand new. Like, I loved Brock Weaver when he came out, when he fought the last time, just because of his get-up and, like, what he was all about. He was super aggressive and he was cool. And what's the other? Who did he fight? Roosevelt Roberts.
Yeah.
How fucking good did he look?
Yeah, he looked very good. He looked very good. Very, very calm as well. I like his style. I mean, for 155, what is he, 6'1"?
And long.
Yeah.
Mad. It was the jab. It was, I think he was catching Weaver with that jab, and it just was frustrating the shit out of him.
6'2" he is.
6'2". Okay.
N and one. Yeah, he's good. And that win over Yakovlev as well. See, yeah. His one loss is against Vince Pichel, and he was always one of those guys that, you know, he didn't quite realize his potential. He could have done a lot more. He's 12-2. When's the last time he fought? Vince Pichel. 2019.
Really?
Yeah, that was the last time they fought.
Vince?
It's been ages. Remember, it feels like it was ages since I saw him fight.
He always reminded me a bit of George Stryopoulos.
Yeah, I see that.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah, so the fact that we were essentially being given a load of people that we hadn't seen that regularly, he just put a massive shine on it. And after I watched the main card, I went back and watched the prelims. And like the first three or four fights were finishes. They were so quick and good fights. But it sort of, you know, when you've got time for another one and you end up like fitting three into it, it always feels good. Do you know what I mean?
Did you see the very first fight? Gutierrez win the fight with low kicks.
Mate, well, you could see it coming all the way through. He just kept, he was chopping and chopping. And even, was it DC or Bisping that was like, Bisping was like, you take a punch to the face. You take a punch to the face all day. If it don't knock you out, it's not that bad. Get kicked in legs, it comes right, keen duck. And DC was like, oh, Bisping, okay, man. And he's like, ah, it's fucking horrible getting kicked in legs. I hate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's such an odd thing to watch happen because it's like such a, you know what I mean? It's like painting someone into a corner and they're standing in the corner watching you do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what's coming. If you let them keep kicking your leg and you don't do anything about it, it's just going to get worse.
Is that conversation? Like, it's the kid, you know, conversation again.
it's different when it's like when one kick makes a big difference. Like we did the war room for Nunes against Felicia Spencer today. And that leg kick that she hit Pennington with in the first 30 seconds, it took her off her legs. Like, that's a game-changing kick straight away.
Yeah.
But, like, that on the weekend was just a slow, just a tap, tap, tap. And that swelling came up super quick.
It's when you hit someone there and they do that full... Did you see Lewis Samolka? When he got hit and he sort of did that whole dance, you know, where your leg comes all the way around? Almost like a reverse flamenco. And you're like, ooh... That's got to fucking hurt, man. You know, for someone to hit your leg that hard, that it pendulums to the point that you can't stop it, you're like, didn't hurt. It did. It fucking did, mate. That really fucking hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horrible.
All of the veterans lost, didn't they? Tim Elliott lost as well. I did an underdog thing. I mean, obviously, they were big underdogs, but all the underdogs lost. All the favourites won, should I say. What did you reckon to Chookagian?
Did I see Chookagian?
Against Chenko.
I didn't see that. That's the one fight that I fell asleep to, and I thought, he's not going to mention it. We'll be all right.
Oh, well, I mean, it's worth a watch. It's worth going back and having a look at it. Yeah, she was impressive. I mean, it was a big jump in the rankings if you looked at the numbers between, but you know, beside their names. But Chookagian looked strong, looked really, you know, very good. There was some really nice fights, really nice performances. I thought Jamal Hill looked good as well.
Yeah,
I mean, Sydney Dern looked like she was in good shape. Looked like she came ready.
Yeah, mate. There was the thing is, it was that much happening that quick. It was, you were in and out of fights before you knew it. Do you know what I mean? There was a lot of, like, the problem is you go into like the fight like Casey against Lewis Smolka, and you're like, Lewis Smolka's got this one definitely all day, and then that gets flipped on its head. Tim Elliott comes out looking insane, just like some fucking savage again, gets stopped, and it's not even like it's a decision or a bad decision. It's a stoppage. Jamal Hill looked awesome. Rodriguez, mate, it was a wicked card. To be fair, if people haven't seen it, the prelims themselves, if you've not seen it, are fucking brilliant.
Yeah. So what do you reckon the main event then?
It sort of broke my brain a bit. It's easy to sit there and say, fucking do something, throw. But like when we watched Woodley against Wonderboy, it was almost... Not overly justified, but it was easy to say he's a counterpuncher. He was waiting for Woodley. It was all very stalky. But it's like he's tripped into like limp mode in a car and he can't get out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So like the Wonderboy thing, yeah, he won and he kept his belt twice. But now he's in that limp mode. What's that? That's a bad picture, dude. Don't save that. But it's now he's in that mode. He can't get out of it. And there was a couple of times where he stepped forward and threw his hand, and you're like, fuck. Like, if that hits someone, they're going to sleep. Like, if he was at a fairground, like, with the cast of Grease Lightning and hitting a punch bag looking like a don, yeah, he's going to get 999 all day. But if you can't hit the person in front of him, it's not going to work, is it?
Yeah, it's just... I mean, that's the thing with it. Like, he looks great if he wins the fight. But if the fight starts to slip away from him, like, he does have the tendency to kind of coast up against the fence and wait for the opportunity to come. You know, sometimes you've got to make these opportunities. And I think, I mean, that's what Gilbert Burns did for 25 minutes. Like, and the beginning of the end was right in the first round when he landed that short right hand and hurt Woodley. And I think all of a sudden then Woodley realised that, you know, it wasn't such an advantage on the feet for him that he thought it was. I think he expected to be able to kind of push Burns around on the feet and you know, like at least keep him fearful of the right hand. And then when he got hurt, I think he realised that vulnerability was there.
It kind of reminded me a bit of John Jones against Rashard. Like, where Rashard was almost... He was a bit slower than John, and he was... He'd been there longer, so he should have been the better guy. Like, if you were writing a book or making a film, do you know what I mean? He's the old vet. He's the guy that's helped John. He's introduced him into this gym, blah, blah, blah. And John's just come along and tore up the playbook and gone, yeah, all right, well, you used to be that good, but I've kept getting better and you've just plateaued. So it was almost the same with Woodley. Like, we've seen him that much now, more so in the commentary role and other bits and bobs. He's obviously got his rap career or whatever that is, as well as it's been 15 months since he fought. But he's been that busy getting involved, like, with knocking back people like Leon Edwards and stuff, when really, just keep fighting, man. Just keep getting in there. And it just seemed like there was something missing. Like, when you look at the end and he's just looking straight ahead and the ref's holding his hand, he's just gone. There's nothing there. Literally nothing there. He's just like, well, that's wank.
Yeah.
And pretty much it. And, like, the thing is, any call for him against Masvidal or Covington or Usman, like, who wants to see it? I mean, I remember, did he knock out? He knocked out Koscheck, right? When it was Strikeforce Woodley, we had a lot of, like, bow humping, like, manhandling people. He fought poorly, didn't he? Fought poorly in Strikeforce. It's not a fight I'd go back and watch. There's not a lot of fights of Woodley's in Strikeforce you'd go back and watch because it was a lot of dominant wrestling. When he came into the UFC, I'm sure he knocked out Koscheck and was everyone's best friend for the first time ever.
And Dave Ron as well.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that.
But he seems to have just changed it. Like, he came into the UFC and went from being Woodley that was he was a dead cert. You knew he was gonna win, but it wasn't gonna be exciting. And then he sort of found that new fire and then knocked Robbie out, which was insane.
Yeah.
And sort of just fell into that limp mode. And now he's just, I don't know if he's got a bit of scratch and he's just not really as hungry or interested, but he had Dean Thomas and Duke Rufus, both there reasoning with him on a level playing field. Not even like some of the coaches were shouting, I don't care if you're tired, fucking crack on. These guys were like leveling with him, going, listen, bro, you got to knock this motherfucker out. Like, you're 7 rounds behind of a 5 round fight. Fucking do something, dude. Do something. And he was like, okay. And it just didn't come. And it was heartbreaking. But Gilbert Burns was incredible. I mean, how much that changed the first round, I don't know. But, he might have sent Woodley crazy with that fucking... I mean, he hit him with like 4 or 5 punches and then took him down and fucked with him for 5 minutes.
Yeah. It was... I think you're right with Woodley. I don't know where the turning point was, because like you said, in his early career, he seemed to have some fire. But then I would say the same thing with GSP to an extent. Like, GSP had a lot more fire in his early career than he did once he was the champion. And he did have some really difficult title defenses, Woodley did, you know, against Meyer and Wonderboy. But I don't know, his last few fights, he just not seemed like he wants to go and get it. And that was the point I was trying to make, you know, when he was going into the fight against Darren Till. Like, there's a possibility that Darren Till could do what Gilbert Burns did to him.
Yeah.
you know, there's also always that possibility that Tyron Woodley can crack you with one shot and change the whole fight. Yeah. And it kind of, that puts him in the welterweight division, puts him kind of in a Yoel Romero type of situation. Because, yeah, like, there's so much more to risk in fighting him than there is to gain from beating him now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is it.
The Leon fight, like, I know that a lot of people were saying online that it was a missed opportunity for Leon and stuff, but maybe not. Like, that it might have saved him from a really slow 5-round fight. Or, you know, it might have saved him from getting cracked with a clean shot and losing his place in the rankings. I think now he's going to be able to get an opponent that's got more interest and more desire to fight him.
Completely. Yeah, because the danger with Woodley is that there is always that right hand or the left hand, obviously. But, I mean, I was kind of disappointed for... I forgot his fucking name.
Don't wait until you remember it. Who?
I keep thinking Danny Roberts, and it's not Danny Roberts. It's fucking... I can't even think of his name.
Leon?
Leon Edwards. Thank you. Fucking hell. My brain just went completely back. I put my foot in that bowl of Orbeez, and it just sent my brain tickled. I was like, oh, they feel nice. I know what the hype's all about now. And I couldn't remember Leon. Yeah, so I felt for Leon, but it's like, it can't be helped. It's like the kids asking me at the minute for prawn cocktail crisps and there's none in the cupboard. It's not that I'm being a cunt. There's just no fucking prawn cocktail crisps. There's nothing that can be done. It's one of them things. And I suppose Leon can have, there's a lot of narratives for him off the back of a lot of things. So, like, he's got the Masvidal angle. He's got the, he was missed out of the Woodley thing. So, hey, Gilbert, you want my fucking number? Come and take my number, motherfucker. So, there's that angle. So, and I think if we can just crank him up a little bit, just to get him talking to a couple of people, it would be gold. Because I've seen him talking to you when we were at Body Power. I've seen him talking on BT when he's actually passionate about something. But he's just quite quiet other than that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. They'll try and match him up, I'm sure, like, you know, sometime when Fight Island gets up and running. I don't know who there is outside of the US, really. The problem is, like, the majority of the welterweights are in the US, aren't they?
Yeah.
But, like, they can keep swimming around that pool and decide the number one contender. And he's kind of isolated from contention by default because of the pandemic. So then he's going to have to fight someone from outside of the unless they're going to bring someone over of, you know, someone of a decent ranking for him to fight in, you know. Who knows, man? Who knows? He needs his opportunity, though, regardless. But like you said, it's because people don't know his name, and that's they don't, because he doesn't speak too much for himself. He doesn't call for people's names, and there's a lot of trash talkers in this division that are easy to overshadow.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, his skills, like what he's done, I mean, even beating Gunny, the fact that he's got a win over Gunny and he's still marching along, he's amazing. But the thing is, I think sometimes it's like when you've got the history of someone like Tyron, because he's been around for such a long time and had, like, pockets of winning but not exciting, insane pockets of winning and exciting with a championship, and then other pockets where he just seems lost. But it's got a massive narrative to it, and he will talk. If someone tries to chat him up, he'll still have a word. I think sometimes the danger's done, though, with people like Tyron, when it's almost like when you see over pushy parents with their kids that aren't telling them the truth. They're just always bullying them up to be the best. Like, we used to have it when I used to ride motorbikes. We used to go trialing at the weekend, and there was always that family that the dad was like, oh, yeah, he did this at the weekend. He's done that. He's done this. You're going to win, aren't you, lad? You're going to win. And this kid fucking hated it. By the end of it, he fucking hated going. And like, you'd be stood there next to him about to do this section. You'd be stood like, all right, dude. And you just burst into tears. And you're like, what's wrong? He's like, I'm not interested in this. This isn't me. It's not what I'm about anymore. And it can get past you because of what everyone else is saying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But then, you know, the thing is with Tyron Woodley, like you said, he's got, you know, he's got the rap career, and he's got his roles in acting and various other different projects he's got going on. Like, being a fighter is kind of part of his portfolio as a businessman.
Yeah.
And as impressive as it is to be an athlete and hold down all those things, there are some things that you've got to be in or not. And at the moment, I mean, Gilbert Burns, with the fact that he's not cutting down to 155 anymore, he's staying busy, he's taking fights against whoever whoever they're off against. He's making good progress, but he's all about fighting. He's all in.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the case with Tyron Woodley anymore, which, you know, unless that's the case, that's the case. There's no issue with that. But I think that's certainly a conversation he needs to have with himself, because otherwise he's going to find himself just kind of being that guy in the division that's, you know, no one wants to really fight because everybody knows how dangerous he is, but it could be a snoozer.
Yeah, and then you almost just slip into that little bit of obscurity a bit, don't you? You kind of go from being, again, to not just to pick on Rashad, but to use him as a bit of an example, he went from being a champ to being a contender to then just waiting it out and waiting it out and waiting it out, and then almost sort of drops into prelims, gets knocked out by a couple of people that normally probably wouldn't have knocked him out, and you're like, oh, I don't want to see that again. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it came up that Rashad had another fight, you'd be like, was that Chuck fighting again? You'd be like, nah, I'm good, man. I don't need to see that. And I think the problem is, it's like Dana said it quite often, if a fighter ever talks about retirement, then he will never stop them. But Tyron's eyes were screaming retirement, or they were screaming something else. Just, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. He just absolutely checked out. And I don't know if it
happens. No, I've had that feeling. I've been there myself. Like, I can think back to times when I was, like, after the Anthony Johnson fight, when I got back to my dressing room, I remember being in that mood there. Like, I was upset and frustrated that I'd lost the fight, but wasn't as bothered as I would normally be, because I just felt like that was it.
Yeah, good job.
And then after the Chris Lytle loss, after that, the next loss, I remember sitting at the press conference being even more kind of matter of fact about it, and like, well, you know, that's it. The thing is, though, I know from personal experience that you can rediscover that. You know what I mean? You can get back on track, and sometimes you just got to change things up. The thing is, Tyron Woodley, even at 38, if he wants to go back for the belt, and if he I don't know what he has to do in his training camp or his life to find that fire back, but he's certainly got everything he needs to do it.
Yeah,
it's all about the psychology for him, isn't it?
But I think there's so many examples of the times when people have gone from being hungry prospect, athlete that's just at the gym grinding day in, day out. Look at Ronda grinding day in, day out, flipping girls and smashing their arms, and like literally unbeaten from just breaking people to pieces. Then all of a sudden, the UFC start women's division. Then there's a lot more money than there was at Strikeforce. Then there's a lot more recognition. Then she starts getting offered jobs to go on Fast and the Furious and this and that. And it's almost been a token character. Oh, you're the token badass bitch. A bit like, what's her name in fucking Beverly Hills Cop 2? Do you know what I mean? Is it Bridget Nielsen or whatever the fuck? Do you know what I mean? Like, you just need to be a token tough bitch. And she kind of took that on and was like, yeah, fuck it, I don't need to talk to her. And they're like, nah, you can just kick the fuck out of them. She's like, cool, I'll do that. But there's got the bit of focus is taken off the ball a little bit. Do you know what I mean? And the problem is, I don't know if Din Thomas and Duke Rufus is a good thing that they are as respectful and everything else. Whereas if it was a coach that was just there to coach, say, oi, shithead, the fuck is going on? Just have a word. Fucking yeah. Knock him out. I fucking tell you. So I think sometimes it's strange. It's like if someone tells my kids to do something, they normally listen. Like if you come around and say something, they're like, yeah, no worries, Dan. I tell them and they're like, hey, Dad. Suck it. Do you know what I mean? So it's crazy. It's kind of worrying because to me, it looked like he was ready. He was done. And like you say, you know that it's possible to get that fire back, that energy back. And I'm not saying that he gets a gimme fight, but maybe a bit more regularly. Maybe it's just on there so it can be an exciting fight. I don't think he's scared of being knocked out. I don't think Woodley's scared of being knocked out, but he's not throwing to knock someone out. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I want to see him fight Mike Perry.
I'll live with that.
Well, I tell you, Gunnar Nelson would be a good one. Gunnar Nelson would be a good fight. Gunnar's directed at finishing fights. He's not interested. He doesn't even think about scorecards and judges. No. You know what I mean? That'd be an interesting one. What about for Gilbert Burns? Who would you want to see him fight again next?
I don't mind him going against Leon. I don't mind him going against Leon. It's a good narrative because the thing is, unless Leon's going to get a shot at the belt, which no one's taking Masvidal's place for Masvidal and Usman, because even Usman would argue that he wants to fight Masvidal because he knows that there's there's the pay-per-view points. So I don't see there being a problem with Gilbert and Leon.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You know, the other one that's floating around is Wonderboy still. Like, I don't know what's happening with Wonderboy, but he's been a bit quiet recently. That'd be a fascinating fight for Leon. I mean, I'm not talking rankings necessarily, but I'm talking about martial artists fighting each other. That would be a really interesting one as well.
I'd like to see Gilbert against Wonderboy, just because Gilbert would push it, I think, because he doesn't give a fuck if he ends up on his back.
Yeah. And Gilbert and Colby, that'd be a good fight.
Ooh, I think
in Brazil.
You see, Colby's left ATT.
Yeah.
Ooh, out.
Yeah, and deleted him off the website as well, haven't they?
But he's still, the thing is, he's sort of still chatting mad shit.
Mate, that gym is so aligned with professional wrestling that I'm not sure what's real and not anymore in that gym. There's a lot of drama going on, and I don't know who's friends and who's not, and who's really enemies and who's not. I just kind of sit back and take it in at the moment. But I'm mainly interested in the point where the octagon door closes behind them, and all the antics around the gym. Unless it seems to be like visibly affecting their training camp. Like if it's in training camp and it's happened, I'll pay more attention. But this kind of drama, it's like the thing with John Jones and like coming out of his contract and falling out with Dana. Like I don't know what there is to gain by that, but it's certainly got people talking, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's all about conversation starters.
I think that's it. I mean, it's almost like the Cejudo retirement. Cejudo retirement, John Jones wants to leave or wants more money. And I get it. I completely get it and I understand it. But it's come from that place where, you know, when you can tell someone's not happy anymore, but like there's a way of winning them back. And there's also times when someone's not happy at a place of work anymore and they're just a well poisoner now. Like, no matter what they say, they're always negative, they're not happy, and there's no way of winning them back. John sort of went from mildly irked and frustrated to almost like, oh, fuck this, then I'm off. And it almost sounds a bit too fast. Do you know what I mean? But I suppose when you've got nothing to do but sit around and think and whatever, then it's easy to get like washed up in that. Do you know what I mean?
I think he wants something to interest him. And I don't know whether it's because, you know, his last couple of fights have been, you know, in comparison to what I would expect from John Jones on his game, he's looked kind of lackluster, you know, and like fights that have almost slipped away from him that really probably shouldn't have done if he showed up to, like, you know, like he did against DC or something like that. It was just a different mentality.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether like he's calling for the fight against up at heavyweight, you know, to stimulate his interest in training. But then at the same time, you're going, look, I'm not taking that risk without getting compensated, which I absolutely get. Yeah. But then that also leaves me in an awkward predicament because like the next contender in the division is Yan, and I just don't think that interests him at all.
No.
Then, you know, you can imagine all of the other opportunities that are coming to him. And he's obviously watching the likes of Ronda and Connor, like making lots of money in lots of different ways. And I know the boxing parallel comes up, but I don't know how that would be a solution for him. So like, I mean, even if the UFC released him and he went over and fought Deontay Wilder, so then what next? Like, so it's like, it's so finite and you still like, it's all about whether you want to be the best MMA fighter in the world. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like you could go back, he could become a free agent and get signed with, you know, say Bellator, and then he's fighting Ryan Bader. And then who's he fighting next? He's fighting Fedor or Chael Sonnen or, you know what I mean? He runs out of interest in fights. So no matter how good he is, the talent pool he's swimming around in just doesn't spark anyone's interest. And then he can't make his money anyway.
It almost drops into that Fedor world again, doesn't it? That, oh yeah, but you only stayed there. Do you know what I mean? I know he's done UFC and obviously he's taken over. I genuinely think, since the GOAT conversation was sparked by Connor last week, was it last week, week before? Obviously, Connor put himself in the position of being GOAT. DC came along and said, I can't have anyone in the GOAT position that has ever popped. Which I completely understand. I might not always agree, but I understand what he's saying. It's almost like if your name's down, you're not coming in. So if you've ever popped for anything, you're not even in the running, which, yeah, I get it. However, when John's looking at that, and his closest, in my opinion, closest rival to GOAT is Anderson Silva. And the thing is, Anderson Silva stepped up, not necessarily for belts, but he went from middleweight, absolutely mullered Forrest and the James Irvin, then bounced back down and defended his title again. And I think that for someone like John, he can always look at that and be like, fuck, that's always that little bit extra. It's not just, oh, you cleaned out a division and you just fucking, you mastered that division forever. Oh, yeah, but then I bounced up and down again a couple of times, just fucked them up. Oh, is it anyone? Well, it's only Forrest and James Irvin. All right. Do you know what I mean? It's not, and at the time, they were the boys. It's not like they weren't fucking good fighters.
Yeah.
So I think that's why John was, in his own mind, he'd sat that night and thought about it and then got himself revved up. He's like, actually, no, fuck it. I'll fight Francis. Fuck it. Fuck it. Let's do it. Almost threw that out to them and then said, yeah, we'll do this. It's going to be good, 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 good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I want this much money. And they sort of went, no. And he went, oh. And then just went, that's not fair. Yeah. And just had a put on.
And it, the thing is, John's never been a last-minute fighter either, has he? I can't think of a time he's taken. If I remember correctly, was there not a fight that was due to be short notice? And he said no.
Cancelled. There was an event cancelled. Was it 135?
Yeah, because he didn't want to take the fight on short notice. Yeah. And it not like Chael Sonnen or someone like that that was going to step up.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing as well, is like Anderson Silva was like, you know, he stepped up and fought James Irvin just to have a go at light heavyweight. You know, he took short notice, like the Michael Bisping fight, that was meant to be somebody else, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In London.
Yeah. And the DC fight at 200. When he fought DC, that wasn't meant to be DC and Silva, was it?
Yeah. Like, main event falls out, and like Anderson Silva, like, still like one of the greatest of all time. And I'm not a big fan of that term because it's so, like, it's so speculative. People get so involved in the argument when there is no right answer. And in 10 years' time, when we've got another three options, that, you know, people won't even be talking about some of the guys on the list today.
Exactly.
You know, that's like, it's one of the, like, as far as standout martial artists, Anderson Silva is, in my eyes, one of the best, regardless of what you think of his drug test. Because I don't think that, you know, I mean, we don't get into that now, but
it doesn't define him, does it?
No. I don't know. I hope John Jones doesn't exclude himself from competition. I don't see what else he's going to go on to do that's going to be as lucrative or as have as much longevity. I understand he wants more money to step up to heavyweight, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, if he's not getting the money that he wants to fight at heavyweight, then his job is to defend his light heavyweight title.
Yeah. Which is, and at the minute he's cleaned everyone out. So unless he's worried about someone like, because the last few fights, like you said, it's not been the same Jones as we've seen before. Oh. Not like when like murder choked fucking Lyoto Machida. You know, when you hold someone up against the cage, bend him in half, snap the neck, and then just drop him and walk away.
Yeah. I remember that Tank Abbott punch.
Oh yeah,
and he dropped him. It just looked like someone had just ripped his spine out of his body, and he's like,
fatality. Yeah, it was bad. But I think it's, I don't know. I don't know if people are just going a bit stir crazy, just going a bit crackers. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe.
But the thing is, when you look at someone like you say, Connor, Ronda, they're all making this mad cash. I'd like to have thought that John's got enough people behind him that could be like, you know, you want to be doing this, this, and this. Like, look at someone like Faber. Faber's got, he's not got enough fingers for the amount of pies he's got. Do you know what I mean? Got to stick his chin in one of them. He's just fucking a mogul, man. And that's it. And I think sometimes certain people, like one of my mates, he was into buying properties. Like after we left school, he was a fucking bit of a shithead at school, bit of a scummy kid. He was just a bit shit. Everything about him, a bit shit. He was super poor, didn't ever have anything. He was just a bit shit, right? And I never forget, we left school in 97 and I was in Derby High Street and he came along and he walked up to me looking like Dexter Fletcher off of Games Master, like this, all right, geez. And he had a phone, it was about this big. He had a phone he's walking with, a fucking massive gold chain, big baggy jeans and these kickers or pods on, whatever he was wearing. He looked like bang on for the time. And I was like, what the fuck are you saying? And he's like, all right, do you wanna go get something to eat? And I was like, yeah, can do. We sat talking, and basically, he started cleaning trains.
Right.
for thousands. Like, he got this contract and it was just him, and him and his sister were going cleaning trains, and he was making a fucking killing, and now he's got this massive business. But because it's just locked in, do you know what I mean? Like, from being at school didn't fit in with him, it wasn't quite right. The minute he left school, he was making a couple of grand a week.
Hustling.
Mate, all day. And the thing is, it's kind of built into certain people. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the most athletic or achieve the most or be the most, like, the most outspoken, whatever the fuck you want to say. But he had that in the back of his mind, and he was just like, all right, I'll do the shit no one else wants to do, but you're going to fucking pay for it. And it kind of worked. And he's now running a massive business. So fair play to him. But I think sometimes you either need that person stood next to you to advise you, or you need a bit of that in yourself. But if you're just making mad cash and it's kind of not going anywhere,
yeah,
it's interesting. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah, what do you reckon of the fights this weekend? It's weird. It's UFC 250, isn't it? And I remember thinking to myself, this is going to, like, you know, back at UFC 200 when they were unveiling the canvas, I'm like, this is going to be a massive event. This is,
yeah.
Next,
do you know what my favorite thing about Amanda Nunes
is that her last name's Nunes?
Nunes, sorry. Yeah, my favorite thing about that lady, that I just, her name completely fucking wrong. So
Nunes.
It was when she beat Ronda so bad, it made Dana forget that she'd even defended a title once. You know, when she obviously when she got the title, she got it off of Misha Tate. So yeah. Then at the press conference, obviously Dana was kind of butthurt because Ronda got beat again, and obviously Ronda and Dana are close. And someone said, and they were like, "So what's next for her now? Then now she's like, she's going to be the greatest ever." Obviously, he's like, "Maybe let her defend the title first." And they were like, "That was a title defense, like." She's already got the title, bro, and it just complete egg on his face. Like, how hard do you have to beat someone to make you forget that they've already got a title win? Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, though, at that time, the belt went Ronda to Misha, Ronda to Home to Misha to Nunes, and then Ronda back with the opportunity. I bet Dana didn't even think the belt had left Ronda's way.
Not one bit. But you imagine where it's gone at that point.
The amount of belts he's put around waist at this point. I mean, is it a Ronda? Is it Orlovsky? It's, you know, it all blurs into one, doesn't it?
I hope you can tell between Ronda and fucking Orlovsky. Jesus, that's worrying.
What?
Has Orlovsky got a good bum?
Hey?
Has Orlovsky got a good bum?
He has. See, that's how I can tell the difference. What are you saying about this weekend's card?
I'm looking forward to it, man. I can't wait to see Sean O'Malley again. And he's against Eddie Wineland, man.
You know. I was just noticed, and I don't know whether this is the correct order. I'll have to check the proper running order. Tapology's got Evan Dunham versus Herbert Burns on the first fight of the card. So does that mean that Herbert Burns can shit-talk Gilbert Burns and was like, you fought on my undercard?
Yeah.
That he was the fight before. You're my co-main event. There we go.
He is. Well, yeah. And Evan Dunham's opening the card.
I know, man. It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. A catch weight at 150. This is nonsense, man. They're making up catch weights that don't make any sense now. And I've given up a damn good argument for a good catch weight that needs to start up.
Mate. Right.
So why is Evan Dunham going down then? What's happening there? Why is Evan Dunham... Has Evan Dunham been fighting at featherweight? Did he go down? I kind of feel like he did, didn't he?
Mate, Evan Dunham was the...
Okay. So he's coming off two losses and a draw. So perhaps he's on his way down to featherweight to try it. And Herbert Burns is thinking about moving up. Now his brother's moved on to welter. I'm speculating here, but
awesome. I still can't believe Evan Dunham's at the bottom of the card. Man, he went like 11-0 and ended up then. Did he fight for a title against Sean Sherk? Split decision.
Yeah.
Decision against John Sherk. What?
Was it his fight against Tyson Griffin that was a wild one?
Yes. And it was, yeah. And Tyson Griffin, remember that name?
Remember that name. And his brother, Tyson, is an excellent grappler as well.
Mate, Tyson Griffin was, he was built like a tree trunk Dorito, wasn't he? He was just fucking, he was tiny, but his thighs were like this.
He was built like that 12 behind you.
He was.
That's what his leg looked like. His leg looked like number one.
That was one of his shoulder blades, the edge of the tooth. Fucking huge.
Yeah, he was, man. I always remember his takedown defense in the Sean Sherk fight because he kind of, like, he ran himself up the fence. Leg.
Yeah.
His leg, brilliant. I loved it. I tried it a few times, but Jimmy always used to still smash me on my face somehow.
Alex Caceres is on this card as well. I love watching Alex Caceres and Chase Hooper.
What do you reckon to that fight? Because I reckon that's a tough one with Chase Hooper.
I think Chase wins.
Stops in first round.
I think if he gets out of the first round, then, I mean, I think he's got to survive the first round. Chase Hooper's looked insane the last few times. And it has been, obviously, early. But the thing is, Alex Caceres is good. It's not like he's not good, but I don't know if he's settled or what, because he's that win loss. I'm looking at it now. Win loss cancelled. Win cancelled. Lost. Win. So he lost to Cron Gracie, which that's no big thing, right? It's fucking Cron Gracie. But he won against Steve. Like
his last fight, though, didn't he, as well?
Yeah. And Stephen Peterson.
Caceres is one of those fighters that, like, if I think about Caceres, I still think he's one of the kids of the division.
Completely.
But he's not, is he? I mean, what is he? 15 and 12. I mean, we're moving towards 50-50 here, aren't we?
Yeah. Like,
win-loss. Yeah. This is a tough fight for him, I think, Chase Hooper. I mean, like, Hooper's last two fights have been first-round stoppages. He's one of those unassuming kids that he's just he's this confident streak that he's on. And Daniel Taymor is no joke either. I mean, you can't break that guy easily. You know, it took some shots to get him out of there.
Right. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. So that's going to be exciting. Because Chase Hooper almost feels like if Sean O'Malley didn't find weed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not saying that weed's derogatory. It's just saying that Sean O'Malley's turned out slightly different.
It's too late. You've already said it.
Nah, I don't think I have.
Hate weed drugs, face tattoos is what you're trying to say.
Well, it's like there were twins that were separated. Like that old Disney film with fucking, what's her name, off of Herbie.
It's a gateway drug to giving up shaving and getting your face tattooed.
Right.
I'm trying to pick out the differences between the two of them.
That's it.
Video gaming? Is Chase Hooper not a video gamer?
That Chase Hooper just seems a lot more like when he was talking to Ben Askren, he was very polite and talking to him. Whereas, like, Sean O'Malley just seems like a surfer dude. He looks like the Big Lebowski. Do you know what I mean? Before he found his lounge pants and his dressing gown.
The young Lebowski.
He's the little Lebowski. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Neil Magny. Neil Magny back, man. Neil Magny's always exciting.
Yeah,
Aljo.
Scrap. Him and Rocco Martin, that's a good strap. Aljamain Sterling, Corey Sandhagen is the most important bantamweight fight on the card, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, Garbrandt's the former champ, but he's coming off three losses and the Sun Tzu's coming off two. And they're in the co-main event spot. Like, logically, it would make sense for them to be switched over, given the importance of that fight. Because the winner of that fight is much closer to a title shot than Garbrandt or Sun Tzu.
See, the whole Garbrandt thing kind of fucks with you a little bit because he was he undefeated? Yeah, undefeated and then knocked out by Dillashaw, who then said, oh yeah, I've been drinking elephant cum fucking for testosterone for the past 6 years. And it's like...
Is that what he's tested positive for, yeah?
That's what he got busted for.
Is that what the USADA report was?
Yeah. It was peanuts. There was peanuts, sugar lumps, apples, pink ladies, and elephant cum in his system. So the problem is if he's taking bull testosterone or something, and if he's hit Garbrandt with something that's got a little bit of extra pep on it that has now broken Garbrandt, that's wank, isn't it?
It is.
You know what I mean? That's someone playing with your toys too hard. It's like it doesn't bend that way. You know when someone used to try and bend your transformer the wrong way, you're like, whoa! You don't fucking bend his legs that way. It goes this fucking way, dickhead. Like, if they've carried on bending, it snaps off. Once it's snapped off, it can't go back on. So if something's snapped off of Garbrandt and it's ruined his career because of Dillashaw, like, what the fuck?
I almost made a joke then that would absolutely ruin this podcast, so I'm not...
I can't do it. Don't do it.
People are too sensitive. So what are your picks for the three bantamweights on the card then? O'Malley v. Wineland. You remember Wineland, don't you? I like Wineland.
That's it. The thing is, I'm all about Sean O'Malley, but there's not. You can't count Eddie Wineland out, man.
No.
He's just a wily vet. He's just been around so long, and he's fucking tough as shit.
Yeah.
Like, his title fight against... Didn't he fight Jose for the title? Or was it Hennen?
No, I think he did, but was it WEC?
Yeah, probably then. Hold on.
Have a look. He's been in the UFC for time.
Yeah, so he lost to Faber, which was a decision. He went decision with Joseph Benavidez. He beat Scott Jorgensen. We've not seen him since, but he was the fucking man, Scott Jorgensen.
Yeah.
Plus, he beat Brad Pickett and then lost to Hennen Brad. So, it's Hennen Brad. Is that spinning back kick? Is that highlight reel spinning back kick? He's fucking good, man.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I know he lost to John Dodson. Decision. He's won his last fight with a right cross. The thing is...
With a lot of right crosses.
Mate. I don't know.
Chased him down and clubbed him to death with it, just about.
Yeah. My heart... Well, head saying Sean O'Malley, just because he's younger and he's on fire and he's just got nothing... Like, he seems unstoppable. But Eddie Wineland, there's something about him, man. He's a vet. And he's still an active vet that isn't someone that's got a chuck chin.
You can't sit on the fence. I'm the one that doesn't have to make predictions because I work for the UFC.
Okay. Well, I'm saying...
So you're saying Sean O'Malley and your head's... Sean O'Malley.
My head's saying Sean O'Malley just because he's younger... He's got a lot of fire behind him. He's doing well, but there's something about Eddie Wineland, man, that you can't count him out.
So your heart's saying, your head's saying, Sean Cookies, and your heart's saying, Chili Doritos.
Yeah. I think Chase Hooper wins against Caceres.
Yeah.
I think Aljo, if he's got the right corner team, if he's got the boys there, if Little and Large, if Laurel and Hardy are with him. Aljo wins all day.
I was saying to Veronica earlier that we could play one of those games if we could get the corner footage from Aljamain Sterling's corner. You know, like those games where you have to like guess how many beans are in the jar.
Yeah.
Like we could play a game where you have to guess how many times Aljamain Sterling's corner say, "Hey, Aljo!" Like,
yeah.
It's got to be well over 200 times per fight. Yeah. If it's a 15-minute fight.
And if you can pick out Matt Serra doing it or Longo doing it, you get even more points. Like that's like two jars for the NHS.
Yeah, good fight. I think Sanhagen might cause the upset there.
Do you reckon?
I don't know why. I just feel like he might be able to just kind of wear Sterling down and box him up against the fence. And that, like, Sterling's got that level change that he uses to relieve pressure. But then Sanhagen's got that little pop jumping knee that he's used to hurt a few people.
But I mean, Aljo's on a tear, man. I know Corey's near enough fucking unbeaten. But
yeah, he had that one decision lost, didn't he, to
Jamal Emmers, which wasn't even in the UFC. That was in LFA.
Yeah.
So since then, man, he's beat John Lineker, Rafael Assunção. It's interesting, man. I'm not sure. But yeah, I'll take Aljo just because I'm hoping his corner team's going to be there, man. Same as Neil Magny. I struggle to ever count Neil Magny out. You know, who was it that Neil Magny fought? And just
Hector when Lombard.
He fought Hector Lombard. Fuck, man. You know, when you see someone get run over by a tank and then it's like some cartoon fucking just smashing him one side and the other, like Ren and Stimpy. And then he sort of gets up and goes, and then wins. You're like, what the fuck? What? Where the fuck did it come from?
Yeah.
Even Hector Lombard was sort of like doing a whole Scooby-Doo. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't count Magny out. I, that's a tough one to call, though, because I've always thought Rocco Martin was good, especially since he's moved to welterweight. I can't call that one. I kind of feel like Rocco Martin might get it. I feel like there's a bit more bite in him. You know, like Neil Magny's a like technically good, always comes prepared, likes to compete.
Yeah.
Rocco Martin shows up and he's like, "You motherfucker, you're getting it."
Yeah.
And I kind of always instinctively root for that quality in a fighter.
The Mike Perry quality.
Yeah.
The Aga quality.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, you don't have to necessarily, like, you don't have to be, like, outwardly aggro to demonstrate that. Like, because the thing is, like, you've got Wineland and O'Malley. Wineland is that guy, for sure. He's like, fucking let me go. O'Malley's like that, but far more calm and reserved about it. You know what I mean? And they're the ones you have to watch out for, the ones that don't get caught up and can snipe at you.
Yeah.
Sunstad beats Garbrandt in this fight, because I just feel like Garbrandt, I mean, yeah, absolutely, you can crack him with a big shot, and he's overly aggressive. But Sunstad, I mean, he's got more than double the experience. He never gets emotionally involved. He's always kind of on the outside, playing the game, choosing his techniques wisely. I think emotion might play a big part in this weekend's card.
I enjoyed Garbrandt's rise. I enjoyed Garbrandt's, you know, when he was coming in there and just icing people.
Yeah.
And the problem is, I'm not saying that the Ultimate Fighter ruined it because you saw his personality. I'm not saying that. But it kind of did.
You didn't want to hang with the boys then, though.
Hanging with the boys. And that was a problem because, like, I didn't want to like TJ, because he'd just been a bit of a snaky shit. There was a lot of stuff about it, about him and Van Ludwig and the Faber thing and all the other shit. I get all that. But at the time, my angle, me and Chris, we were sat watching the Ultimate Fire at work. So it was kind of like, TJ's a bit of a douchebag, right? And he was like, yeah. We're all about Cody, yeah? And we're like, yeah, save. All about Cody. Then we watched an episode and we're like, oh my God, could you imagine being with this guy? He's a bit of a shitlord.
Mate, the thing is, the clue's in the name of the team, though. I know that it's got a bit of a ring to it. And I always like the spin that Dominic Cruz put on it, Alpha Fail.
Yeah.
But, like, the clue's in the name, Alpha Male. That means, like, there's one person who's in charge, there's one dominant individual. And in a team like that, you can't have it. Like, they're all of a similar weight class, of a similar mentality, a lot of them chasing the same goals. Like, you can't build a team mentality on a, you know, like, that's just not just my observation, but it just seems to be, there's so much friction with that team all the time.
Yeah.
No matter who's coming in and out, there's always a falling out and someone leaving. And the thing is, they're very productive as well. But the reason for them being, I mean, they're very productive, but they have so many people coming to the gym as well. It's stressful to run the place.
It seems to be the problem while ever Faber's competing. Because he's still the man. He's still Faber. He's still in the mix, Faber. Like, if you look at, is it Novo Nhao in Brazil?
Mm.
Like, they had a coach.
Did he get coronavirus, Andre Pinheiro's? Yeah.
I heard something about it.
Yeah.
But he wasn't fighting, but he was the coach that oversaw everything, and they didn't have that same, not ego problem, but it kind of is the ego problem, isn't it? Because
it's a different
when
kind
you're...
of
problem, yeah, when you're focusing purely on, like, almost one or two weight classes exclusively, and you're still the poster boy for the WEC and kind of the poster boy that should have had a UFC belt but never did, it's weird. Do you know what I mean? Because I'll never forget, they did a promo because Faber owned the company Form, F-O-R-M.
Yeah.
They sponsored John and John Jones, and it was weird. Like, to be fair, Faber's a shrewd motherfucker because he had that and he sold it, I think, to K-Swiss when it was absolutely on its arse. So he sold that just before the Reebok deal. But they did this thing called No Shirt Nation, and it was all the alpha male. It must have looked like something off Lord of the Rings, like all the guys are having a shower after a day's work. Because they were just marching around, all these little muscle men, like, with no top on, going and knocking on people's doors. And it was sponsored by Team Alpha Male, AMP. Can you remember AMP? A-M-P. Is it AMP or AMPed? And Form. And they were all walking along this street going and knocking on doors. Like, all right, we're No Shirt Nation. And you just think, what the fuck? How is that a thing? No wonder you've got some fucking infighting, you maniacs. Yeah.
Well, so main event. Give me your pick for the main event. Nunes, Felicia, Spencer.
Do you know what? Spencer's surprised the shit out of me constantly. She has surprised the shit out of me. And I don't think it was a shock to her. I think she knew that she's that good. And it's like, even with, was it Megan? Yeah. Like, I'm not being funny. Isn't she like a foot shorter than her? And yeah. I had a word. I mean, the concerning thing is that, I mean, she went for a unanimous decision against Cyborg. So she's tough. She's fucking tough, which is, that's one thing. She's tough and she could do something, but how the fuck can you count Amanda Nunes out of this, man?
Yeah, you can't. You can't. That's the thing. I mean, we've done war rooms for him today, and the main event war room is about 15 or 20 minutes long. There's a lot to talk about on it. I mean, obviously, you know, Amanda Nunes is the favourite. And just coming in, it makes sense of her being the favourite, but we just can't count Felicia Spencer out in this one because it's, you know, different weight class, different size, different. Yeah, very, very different.
Well, it's also, if you look at when Amanda fought Cyborg, there was a couple of times she got clipped. I'm not saying she got hit hard, but it wasn't like a clean, methodical Anderson Silva against Stefan Bonner. Anderson Silva against Forrest Griffin. It wasn't like The Matrix where she's like, oh, really? Clink, clink, clink. She was taking one. And the thing is, who the fuck doesn't love an upset? I fucking love a good upset, man. And I love to see how a champ comes back. And someone like Amanda, I can see her just chomping down on the bit and then just being an absolute destroyer. Yeah. I'm excited, man. The thing is every time Felicia Spencer's come out previously, you're like, all right, well, yeah. Here comes the lady that I see at the playground picking up her kids, same time I'm picking mine up. She's just a normal looking lady, but her skill set is, she's fucking proved it every time, and hats off to her. She's absolutely smashing it.
Now,
what are you saying? Obviously, Amanda.
I mean, the obvious pick's Amanda, but I, the longer the fight goes, the more it favors Felicia. And I think that if she can get her up against the fence and start using that head pressure and just wearing her down. And, you know, like her trip takedowns against the fence and her rear naked choke attack coupled with the ground and pound, I think she's got a good chance with that game plan, especially to kind of wear Amanda down over the rounds. You know, five rounds. She's fought over five rounds before. She got the finish in the fourth. I'm excited to see it. I'm not surprised that people are underestimating Felicia. But at the same time, I think this is one of those fights where it's exciting that people are underestimating her, because even if she loses, they're going to be surprised, you know?
Yeah. And that's the nice thing. Would it be the first Canadian female champion?
Yeah.
That's kind of big time.
Yeah.
And it's shit like that that lights fires under people. You know, when she's had nothing to do but train? She had nothing to do but train. And obviously, Amanda's good. We know Amanda's good. And just sometimes you see someone push to that point. Like when Cody beat Cruz. Do you know what I mean? You know, when you think, he's just going to do what he always does. Cody's never been the same since. But that night, he put on a performance of an absolute fucking lifetime. And yeah, but I'm excited, man. I'm super excited. Because it's this week with Woodley, it was good. The undercard was good. It was kind of disappointing with the main, from what I expected to see to what I saw. Not like Gilbert Burns' performance was disappointing. I just expected to see something else and something completely different happened. So this weekend, it's got a load of wicked fights. There's a lot of good shit, man.
Right. I think my food's ready. I can smell food cooking.
Well, I'm going to go. I've got one thing to ask you quick.
Go on, man.
Well, there's two things. Because I watched Fight Law on Fight Pass.
Yeah.
How good is... How good would it be if Bruce Buffer was your granddad?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It was his birthday. It was his birthday, and he was doing shout-outs to himself, like, thank you for all the messages. And now, and I'm like, Bruce, he probably invoiced himself for that. He probably invoiced himself for that.
Oh, he did. There was definitely a write-off in some way, yeah. For
man,
sure.
What?
Bruce is such character. I like the quiet moments before the event start in the dressing room where he's taking his moment to meditate. And, he doesn't matter. And it And it doesn't matter what's going on in the room as well. Like, if he's in the room meditating, and you want, like so I'm cautious because I know that he likes to meditate before the show start, kind of, you know, brings him into his center. But like, if you walk in the room and I'm walking and I'm being real quiet and like, you know, just trying to be sensitive, like, he'll still go, "Oh, no, it's fine. My focus is excellent." No, you're fine. I don't even know you're there. I'm not even talking to you, right?
Don't even worry about interrupting and ruining my last 20 minutes fucking meditation, dickhead. I am fine.
Yeah.
Spike Carlisle. How fucking exciting was Spike Carlisle yesterday? The ginger ninja with the fucking, with his hair done. Man, he was the boy. He was fucking brilliant. Yeah. Obviously, got very tired.
Well, that's the thing. He's got to figure out how to maintain that style. He's brilliant for 5 minutes.
Well, that's what we want. Let's have some 5 minute fights. Because, listen, go back and watch that fight. And in between round one and two, his coach sounds just like Bobby Southwark off of season one of The Ultimate Fighter.
Does it? And it wasn't him.
Do you know what? He had a mask on, and I'm sure it's not him.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure, but it sounded just like him.
Did it? Elliot Marshall's there. I always think he looks a bit like Bobby Southwark. Now, you know, when they're both clean shaven.
Yeah.
Growing the beard now, but I always think they look quite alike.
Yeah. Well, Elliot.
Southwest fights the other day in Pride. Who was it he was fighting? I've been watching so many old fights recently. Now I've got the TV in the gym.
Nice.
I'm on my deadlifting routine. I just have the fights playing over and over again.
It's nice. Did you put it on that trolley we made?
No, it's the big old TV that I had upstairs that's not really that old.
Yeah.
So I brought it downstairs to use it for open mat. The guys from BT Sports fucking laughed at it. They were like, "Is that your TV?"
That's like,
you know what I mean? Like I was trying to put a fucking wagon wheel on my van outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I can still watch shit on it. You know what I mean? It's not like a black and white box that I have to fucking adjust the coat hanger on the top.
Coat hanger on the side. Yeah. Shit, man. Yeah.
So I got real paranoid about it. I brought it downstairs and it was in the way. So I moved it into the studio. And I'm in the gym one day watching my fights on the laptop, thinking to myself, that TV fits up there on that top shelf. So then you should have seen the fun of watching Veronica and I trying to get this massive, heavy TV. I could literally put it up there with one hand. It's like an empty cardboard box. This old TV, I don't know what's in the base of it, but if it's not toxic, I'll be surprised.
I'm about to say, but it's Panini stickers.
Panini stickers and lead figurines that have been melted down.
Yeah. Well, I just know that I haven't been there to be able to put anything up. So it did kind of worry that I'm going to walk in and it's going to be just coated in duct tape and fucking broom handles like a zombie riot shield, but it's just fucking held up. It's like, yeah, don't worry about doing that, telly. I did it. Sorted it.
Everything's put up with glove tape. Everything's hand wrap tape. We've even got balloons up in the kitchen that we've put up with wrap tape. I mean, it's an ingenious use of tape. And I tell you what, normal tape will take the paint off the walls, but it turns out that fabric tape that you use for a hockey stick or a hand wrap does not take the paint off the wall.
Really?
So we've learned something new in this trial and error period.
Did I ever tell you about when I made them stickers in a previous job? They were like, for a start, I got my sizing slightly wrong. Slightly.
That doesn't sound like you.
At all. No, I've still got the big wooden stamps we've got for coffee bags. If we ever make sacks of fucking coffee. So these stickers were meant to be like normal size, say 60 mil. And they were like this, right? Like a dinner plate. So there I was, dashing them out to everyone. The girls put it on the wardrobe over where the doors open. So like they put it here. And you think, kids being kids, put stickers fucking everywhere. So I was like, oh yeah, no worries. Peeled it off and literally it took the lacquer off the wardrobe. Anything it touched, it was like acid. And I was like, whoops. I had to go to IKEA. I had to drive to IKEA, buy two spare doors, bring them home and fit them before anyone saw it.
Oh.
I'm not scared of my wife. I'm just saying, to avoid any problems.
It's okay.
Yeah, I am too. That's why she cut my hair for me. I didn't want it doing. I was trying to beat Steve-O with his big fucking hair. Have you seen him? Yeah, Steve-O's doing a challenge just to see how big he can get it. He looks like Bruce Buffer's son at the minute.
Does he?
Salt and pepper. Yeah.
He's just like the professor off what's it called? Back to the Future suit.
Marty! That'd be good. If we can get him a DeLorean, that'd be good.
Here we go.
Right.
Right.
Well, now you can check for Bobby Fitzroy. Yeah, nice seeing you, dude.
We'll have to do it in person again sometime.
You never know. Well,
We're almost allowed to, aren't we?
I think so, yeah. Well, I'll come and sit on your steps.
So go outside, don't go outside. Use public transport. Go to work if you can, but stay at home. Don't go outside. Like, no one knows what's going on. So,
and what? Why, the thing is, the news is filled with stupid shit as well. Like, where, if you ever listen to Radio 2, because I'm obviously old as fuck, I listen to Radio 2 when I'm in the car. And apparently one nurses are told, don't wear your scrubs to the shops because of cross-contamination and all the rest of it. And I was like, all right, I get that. And this one nurse had gone into a shop and another nurse had fucking given her some of this. Someone else had filmed it. And she just then got a round of fucks from the nation calling her a piece of shit, which I think a lot of people need to be held accountable, especially on radio shows like that. I think they need to go, Stephen Dunmore from 16 Woodland Terrace said, burning hell, bitch. And then, you know, do you know what I mean? Because it's like, you stand by your fucking statement, dickhead. Because to me, if a nurse has been in and out of her scrubs half a dozen times, and then there could have been an emergency at home, or she thought, I'll leave them on because when I get home, I'll wash them. Who the fuck is going to stick their head in and just start wagging fingers and being a shit fuck? Like, just be nice to people. Why the fuck can't people be nice? What the fuck is wrong? Do you know what I mean?
That's the pandemic, my friend. That's the pandemic.
Fucking winds me off the clock. Just shitheads, aren't they? There are a lot of shitheads kicking about.
Right. Well, we've got fights this weekend anyway.
Yes, we have. Nice. Right.
Right.
Take it easy. Good to see you, man. See you later. See you, Lady V.